Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from The Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
A big warm welcome to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, powered by Golf Week, the Insider's Golf Magazine. Well, we've been talking about the Ryder Cup for a long time, and it's finally here. Proud to be sitting alongside my partner, Alex Maselli. You read his work in Golf Week, you see him on Golf Channel, and of course you listen to him right here on The Grill Room. Alex, how was your trip over?
So far, so good, Bob. You know, you got to come over early and kind of acclimate. I don't know why the players – I really thought about this when Watson showed up yesterday. He looked dead tired, you know, and it takes time to kind of get yourself ready to rock and roll, and it takes more than a day or two. And I think the older you get, the longer it takes, and which is the reason why you probably won't be ready to acclimate until you're leaving.
You're probably right about that. Taking our listeners behind the scenes a little bit, one of the interesting things they conduct every year at the Ryder Cup, and it's amongst the media. The European media plays against the American media in a Ryder Cup-style format on the golf course. I know you were on the American side. First, I'm curious how you got selected to play, and then I would love to ask how you played.
Pure happenstance. It was how I got selected.
What is? I don't know what that means.
It means like the luck of the draw.
I see. Because I was getting conflicting stories. Some reports came to me and said you were begging to be on the team and you didn't really want to play.
That's true. I didn't want to be. The second part is true. No begging. Didn't really want to play.
But when you got the email asking you to play, within seconds you responded yes.
I never responded.
All right.
See, here's the thing. See, if you're gonna be a journalist and a reporter, you got to first of all get your facts straight, which clearly you do not have.
All right.
I was requested to play. I never responded. I eventually got a phone call and a text. I didn't respond. My editor at Golf Week magazine responded and said that I would play. I never said I was playing.
All right. How many points did you get? It was a stable foot. Scoring.
First of all, you had said early in the show that it was just like the Ryder Cup. Clearly, Stableford is not like the Ryder Cup.
Okay.
I have no idea how many points I got because I was first off. I had to get back to the media center and do television and do radio. So I think the whole point of this is that I know you're trying to somehow in some way embarrass me. And maybe there is something you can do. You might have pictures of me doing something illicit. I don't know. But in this particular case, I have nothing to give you.
Well, we'll leave it right at that. That was the report from the captain of the American Riders Ryder Cup team. He simply said Alex had nothing to give us. So, hey, let's move on, all right? Your flight over was good, our flight. We went from New York, spent some time out on one of your favorite places, the east end of Long Island, out by Shinnecock and National. And then we flew to Dublin, and then from Dublin right over to Glasgow. How'd you come?
Went right from Newark to Shannon. Played golf for 3 days in Ireland and played golf in Scotland for a couple days. And now I'm here with you. And I can tell you that the worst double bogey I made, I'd rather be doing than doing this with you right now.
Yeah, I know you would, because you can't remember how many. I asked three of the guys that played in that match this morning. I said, how many points did you have? And all three told me, just like that. Now I get to Alex, and he doesn't know. Listeners, you judge for yourself. Does he know and won't tell us, or does he really not know.
I would have no problem telling you, but I don't know because I left immediately. Well, immediately.
It was too few to remember.
That's probably true.
You can keep your own score, by the way. All right, you're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, powered by Golf Week, where you can read Alex Maselli's fine work, The Insider's Golf Magazine. Just go to golfweek.com. You not only get the inside story as it happens, but you can also hear The Grill Room. There's a link on the front page to the show. All you do is go to golfweek.com. More about the Ryder Cup when we return, and we'll be joined by our European correspondent, good friend of ours, Alex Rupert Bell.
You know, Bobby, but before we go to break, who do you think will win the Ryder Cup, the U.S. or Europe? Or should I say the other way? Who do you think will win the Ryder Cup, the U.S. or? I think the U.S. Send in your pick to entry at thegrillroom.com to arrive by noon Eastern on Sunday, September 28th. The winner will receive a pair of Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses and a copy of your book, The Ryder Cup, Golf's Greatest Event. Enter now. Send your choice to entry at thegrillroom.com by noon Eastern on Sunday and get an opportunity to get a pair of sunglasses, which you can use reading Bob's book. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
All right, we're back. Scottish music in the background. You know why? That's because we're in Scotland. We're at the Ryder Cup. Rupert Bell sitting on one side, Bob Bupka on the other side, and we're here at the Centenary Course, a Jack Nicklaus design, here at Glen Eagles in the Glens of Perthshire, totally in the middle of, well, I don't want to say nowhere, but certainly is in nowhere. But beautiful scenery, nor far from the whiskey trails and famous distilleries, and we're going to keep Bob away from those.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. This event has really grown now, Alex, and I want you to weigh in on this. They're billing it as the third largest sporting event in the world, only behind the Olympics and the World Cup. You buy into that? I don't know if it's bigger than the Ryder Cup.
Rupert, go ahead, jump in there. What do you think?
Super Bowl's an American thing, isn't it? It's very parochial. It doesn't cover as many countries. It's more parochial, I would say. It's huge. I'm not getting away that in America, obviously, you know, what you charge for advertising, it's a huge deal over there. But it has a place over here, but you don't have there's not the same sense.
Do you think this is the third biggest event?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Thank you. That's why we like having you on the
without
show.
Without question.
You come up with the facts that support what I say.
I have a global view of the world.
Yeah. Well, 250,000.
Well, let's back up, Bob. I have never heard anyone say that you have a global view of the world.
No, Rupert said he has a global view.
But you're jumping on board, so that would mean that you'd have the same view.
Well, it's just nice to have somebody that agrees with me. Anyway, 250,000 spectators from 96 different countries. Now, that's a mark that I guarantee you cannot be duplicated by the Super Bowl. Fans do not come to the Super Bowl from 96 different countries.
It might be close, but I would say that there's more passion about this. This event has just been transformed from in the 70s it was Mickey Mouse. I mean, the players, nothing. It was something the Americans felt they had to do, but then it was transformed, and piece by piece this has got bigger and bigger, and now it's sort of, you know, Tom Watson is summing it up, you know, when he was saying in media that suddenly I've got so much more to do. This event just has multiplied in its interest, and as we've seen, even where we're talking to you now.
When I talked to Watson after his press conference today, I said, you know, Tom, I went back and looked.
Well, let's talk about your dress, first of all. He was commenting on your natty bow tie that you were wearing.
But in 93, I asked him, I said, Tom, I said, I looked at some pictures that I found. I don't believe there were stands behind the first tee in 93.
There wasn't a belfry. There wasn't. But there was a big atmosphere.
Right. The only reason I said that is you look at today – and the picture of the stands behind the amphitheater stands behind the first tee. I mean, it's tremendous. And you go from, you know, 93 when it was the last captain, the last Ryder Cup he'd been to now. I mean, it's like night and day. It's like, you know, fairy tale.
I came here first when I was 14 in the mid-70s. My great uncle was a member here when he used to call it golf. As opposed to golf, and that was my and this place has been transformed. And then when suddenly now, a few years on, I'm standing behind that first tee in that grandstand. It is the most spectacular. And when they turn up at 7:30 through that tunnel on Friday morning here in the UK, it will just be an extraordinary atmosphere. The players will be nervous when they try and put that ball on the tee peg.
Let's take our listeners a little bit through the Ryder Cup history, which you can read about in my book. But
ka-ching.
It started in 1927.
How's that going, by the way? How's that book going, by the way?
Did you write a book, Bob? I've had more people say to me, any book that Alex Maselli recommends, I'm going to go out and buy. So thank you for doing that. 1927, first one, big
date. You didn't answer the question, but you saw that, right?
Let me finish, Alex. And then, obviously, in 77, when Jack makes the suggestion, I mean Jack Nicklaus, that all of Europe be brought in to participate in the Ryder Cup. That was huge. And then I think 81. 81, when Seve Ballesteros was left off the team, you know, Tony Jacklin didn't participate. And then the next one, 83, they talked Jacklin into doing it, Alex, and he talked Seve into playing. And I think that really has turned the tide.
Right, and it's also because we came close to winning it. That was it. Suddenly it became competitive again.
Well, but
that
was
the moment, because we went over there thinking we had many people say, Jack himself, perhaps we should have won it, but they didn't know how to win. Now they know how to win, unlike you lot, who don't know how to win, as proved in Medina.
Wow,
that's kind of heavy.
Wow.
This is an American-based show. I don't know if we should allow him to continue.
Well, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that someone from this side of the pond has been wrong, so we'll just move on.
All right, let's take a look at the key participants. First, obviously, anybody that loves Ryder Cup knows that Paul McGinley is the European side. He has five assistants: Miguel Jimenez, Des Smith, Sam Torrance, Padraig Harrington, Darren Clark.
Whoa, back up. Darren Clark is not an assistant.
Maybe it's
because it's Jose Maria Olazabal.
Oh, that's who it is. They look alike.
There seems to be, it's quite interesting that
he's working for TV here, Darren Clark.
Yes, that there's this rift between Clark and McGinley, who were best of friends.
Well, they were both going for this gig, remember?
Well, but then when Darren decided, well, first of all, they weren't both going for this gig. Clark personally told McGinley he was not going to try to get this gig, which is the only reason why McGinley did try to get this gig. And then Darren decided to come back around and say, I do want to do it. And then when it turned out that Darren wasn't going to get it, he threw his support not up for McGinley, but for Colin Montgomery.
Which was a bit naive of him, because now we're in the same boat now. We don't repeat captaincies like we used to do with Jacklin and Bernard Gallagher, because we've got a surfeit. And the interesting thing is, Darren has been on the backroom staff, so he's had the experience if he's going to be a future captain. But that's why they brought Padraig in, to see whether he would like to be part of it, maybe with a view for him being a captain down the line.
Yeah,
Alex, just
go ahead, please.
We have to move on. I want to
make sure that our listeners get the exactly correct information.
I agree with that. You've been working a lot with Tom Watson. By the way, congratulations on your work with the media guide that you put together. Absolutely outstanding. Probably the best media guide I have ever seen. I want your comments on the three assistants for Tom Watson: Raymond Floyd, Andy North, Steve Stricker.
Well, first of all, Raymond Floyd, I mean, I don't know what Raymond brings to the party, personally, except for he's a great friend of Tom Watson's. and he historically has a lot of information. But I just it's hard to believe that Raymond Floyd is an assistant captain. I don't dislike him. I just don't understand it.
He's obviously gone for people he's comfortable around, the elder statesman of American golf, because clearly he was brought in because everyone else had tried and failed. They've gone back to the last winning captain, practically, in 93, you know, when he won over here. They've had to go back and look for, going back to the European model of repeat captains, because there was no one else who seemed to have the leadership skills.
There would have been one other guy.
Who could? Who would it? Jack Nicklaus?
No, Paul Azinger.
He's done it twice?
No, but there would have been one other guy.
You think he should have done it?
I think he should have done it, but that's another story. But Stricker brings this this idea that I'm not a contemporary of this group. Steve Stricker is. I can rely on him to give me the pulse of the players. And Andy North is a great friend as well, and Andy and Stricker are good friends. So it was that's a great combination, those two. And I can honestly tell you that, as far as I know, up until the Sunday of the Tour Championship, Tom Watson had basically not talked to one of his players.
Which is a rather amazing thing, because the popular conception is that the captains are actively involved with their players. I'll guarantee you, without having Paul McGinley sitting in on the grill room, that he was in contact with every one of his players.
But he's on the tour all the time and playing, and that's it. So therefore he knows them, and he's in a position to do so. Tom Watson is plying his trade on the seniors tour. I don't buy into this. You have to talk to everyone. If you're a leader, you have your own opinions. Yes, you're a sounding board, but you don't have to be mollycoddling and sort of have to hear everything. Have your opinions. You'll make the decision, stand or fall. Tom Watson is old enough and ugly enough to make his own decisions. He doesn't feel he probably needs to go and mollycoddle every pampered PGA Tour player.
That's true, but Rupert, let's be honest. I mean, you would at least give them the opportunity to at least weigh in, maybe, on a captain's pick, or who you'd like to be paired with?
I think there's an element of that last minute to see where that you're going. Once you get into the 12, that's when you decide who you're going to play with.
Right, but I mean, I'm just saying, it's just quite interesting because every other captain has done it differently. Of course, you could then argue every other captain has done it differently, but we failed and failed miserably. Team Europe, Rory McIlroy, Thomas Bjorn, Jamie Donaldson, Victor Dubuisson, Stephen Gallagher, Sergio Garcia, Martin Kaymer, Graham McDowell, Ian Poulter, Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, Lee Westwood. And on the U.S. side, Keegan Bradley, Ricky Fowler, Phil Mickelson, Jim Furyk, Zach Johnson, Matt Kuchar, Hunter Mahan, Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson, Jordan Spieth, Jimmy Walker, and Bubba Watson. That's the 12 on each side that are going to determine if the United States is going to take the cup home or be embarrassed one more time, Bob.
Well, you're right about that, Alex, but there's only a couple of, I guess on the European side, Lee Westwood was the pick that was in question, Nick Faldo for one, Rupert Bell for another, felt that it should have been Luke Donald instead of Lee Westwood. I personally, I love Luke too, but I thought Lee might be a better fit with these group of guys. If you were faced with that decision, Alex Maselli, would you have taken Luke or would you have gone with the Lee man?
Well, first of all, I would have gone way outside the box.
Okay, where would you have gone?
I'd have gone with Langer.
Well, nobody has been saying that more than me right from the start.
Well, and we know he's playing brilliant golf and match play. I mean, he was the most extraordinary captain back in 2004.
Not only that, he wins. You know, Luke Donald hasn't won in I don't know how long.
No. Nope.
Lee Westwood had won one in some Asian distant country for playing against guys that don't even have world ranking points.
Although this is, would he have accepted it?
I don't know. And I found it interesting that that McGinley said he's definitely not part of the equation and then said that he did call him when he was making his picks. So why do you call the guy if you already said he's not part of the equation publicly?
Because he respect his decision and maybe sounded him out. Because Langer was an extraordinarily good captain. Yeah.
I just think that, look, when you got a guy that wins at a prodigious rate, and I think it's clear at this point that match play is different than stroke play, and that guys on the senior, there are people on their Champions Tour or the Senior Tour that actually can compete at a limited basis on the other tours. They can't play, they just can't play 72 holes. It's clear. But they can play the odd 18 holes.
Well, let's be honest. Langer is very competitive at whatever event he turns
right.
up.
So do I think that he would have been just as competitive as the guys we're talking about, if not more so, because of the fact that he wins?
Yes, but actually the pool that he was looking at, there are other players that you could have been looking at who've done well. You know, the people like the Dutch player Just Luiten was just off right. off the edge of it. Who could have Francesco Molinari, although his form's been a little bit ordinary, but he comes with Ryder Cup experience. But
not good experience.
Well, he played all right against Tiger.
Oh, Tiger didn't make a birdie. Tiger didn't make a birdie at Medina.
Yeah, but...
Come on. I mean, let's be honest.
But I know.
He's the number one player in the world. He didn't make a birdie.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have got that worried. Molinari's not going to frighten the opposition. Westwood, with his reputation, perhaps comes with something that means that the Americans will be worried.
I got Bob over here chomping at the bit. We got to go to break. But before we do go to break, I want to remind all of you to check out Bob's new book or e-book. Am I promoting this again? The Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event, an entertaining... That I don't know about for sure. Factual, I'm sure that's questionable too. One of the most golf's most celebrated events, the Ryder Cup. No, it's not. This is a good book. I honestly believe that. I just like to give Bob a little stick. It's a complete history of the 87 years of the Ryder Cup, the old Ryder Cup matches, and features many contributions from the big names: Jack Nicklaus, Lee Trevino, Nick Faldo, Byron Nelson, Tom Watson, Ben Crenshaw, among others. There's even a statistical section with the records of every player who has ever played on the Ryder Cup team. It's the Ryder Cup Golf's greatest event. All the information can be found at RyderCupBook.com. Thankfully, you've gone ahead and shortened the name of the website.
Yeah, we want people to go to RyderCupBook.com.
I just want to tell you something. The old address, I don't think you wanted anybody to go to it, but at least now you got it right, RyderCupBook.com.
We did get it right. Okay. And it's time for our listeners to get it right by picking the winning Ryder Cup team. Who do you think's going to win? Will it be the United States or will it be Europe? Send in your pick to entry@thegrowroom.com to arrive by noon Eastern on Sunday, September 28th. The winner will receive a pair of Transitions adaptive sunglasses and a copy of my book, The Ryder Cup Golf's Greatest Event. Send the entries to entry@thegrillroom.com by noon Eastern on Sunday. We'll take a look at the European team and the captain's picks made by Paul McGinley. We touched upon that a little bit. I want to talk about the picks made by Tom Watson, and I'm going to go to his defense early on. Everybody here has been saying, well, Billy Horschel should have been on the team, but his accomplishments came after the deadline for the picks. All that and more on The Grill Room when we come back.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Want to improve your golf game? Improve your vision. Callaway and Transitions Optical have created Callaway Neox Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, designed to enhance visual performance while playing golf. They automatically adjust color and darkness, sharpen depth perception, and offer superior clarity. You'll have more accurate distance vision and be better able to see the terrain and contours all day, regardless of weather and light conditions. Buy Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses at CallawayGolf.com or learn where to get a pair in your prescription at transitions.com/sunwear/Neox.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
We're back at the massive media center for the 2014 Ryder Cup, by far the biggest media center I've ever been involved with in professional golf. But is it an optical illusion, Alex? You've been to plenty. I mean, it seems like it's a mile long, but it's not nearly as wide as what we see at the U.S. Open and the Open Championship.
I'm just going with it's big.
Big. That'll fill in everybody on the story.
It's big. Look at a picture. There's numerous pictures on Twitter of how big the media center is. In fact, I will tweet a picture of the media center later today, and you can go ahead and take a look at it. It's big. There's no question. I like big. And where am I tweeting at? TGR Golf. I'll be tweeting at TGR Golf. I'll take a picture. I'll send it out. I'll send it out on my personal Twitter as well. So you have it. Everybody will have it. There'll be no question that when they look at it, they'll say, it's big.
Because you said that word, I think it's incumbent upon me to...
I didn't call you big.
Well, it comes into play about what I'm going to say. My accommodations this week are in a temporary hotel. A portable hotel, to be exact. 300 rooms constructed out of nowhere. And right after the Ryder Cup, they're going to take it down. Now, when you get to your room, that's when it really becomes fun. This morning, I was able to brush my teeth in the bathroom sink, comb my hair in the bathroom mirror while still sitting on the side of my bed. And the towel that I used to dry after the shower was four times the size of my living room rug. The living room rug, without exaggerating, Alex, 2 feet by 3 feet. So if you want to stay on the rug, all you have to do is turn in circles. You'll never go off the rug. It is absolutely incredible to see.
Okay.
It didn't impress you.
No, but maybe you could take a picture and impress somebody else.
But you can't.
What do you mean you can't?
I've taken a photograph. It's fine. It's cozy.
Thank you, Rupert.
It's compact and bijou, I think, would be the best description.
What is bijou?
It's very nice. It's superbly appointed. The old cat's not going to swing round very far. And if you're sharing the room, it's very cozy. You've got to like the person you're sharing with. Janice,
well,
over
thank
to you.
God. I just met her yesterday.
let me just say that as much as you're...
The players are not staying in it, that's for sure.
Describing your accommodations this week, you could be describing better accommodations an hour away. So I think when you consider that you're staying on the grounds versus an hour away, the fact that you can't fling your cat around the room is not so bad.
Point well said, Alex. Let's move on. People may be interested in what happens at a Ryder Cup. Well, there were no spectators on Monday, Alex. Today was the first official day of practice, and when the gates opened this morning, fans were streaming in here. I thought that they were going to watch you play golf, but they're actually coming here to watch the Ryder Cup teams practice. A lot of people on the grounds on the first day of practice.
Well, you know, the weird thing is you don't really get much access to the players at the Ryder Cup. I mean, you know, the Americans at least went out at 9:30 in three groups of four. So all you got are 12 guys walking around hitting balls. But the fans in Scotland are so ravenous and looking forward so much to this Ryder Cup. You know, people don't understand that of all the years of Ryder Cup, this is only the second time ever the Ryder Cup has been in Scotland. The last time was 1975, 77?
73.
When it was in Mirfield? When it was in Mirfield? So
yes.
That's been a long time.
But they did play here in the mid-20s.
Well, but that
wasn't technically Ryder Cup, but right. It was a...
Well, nobody...
No,
it
Rupert, was, yeah. They play golf here every week.
Yeah, but there was an American GB...
It wasn't even a...
For the seed merchant to get involved... In the Ryder Cup.
It wasn't even an American team because a lot of foreign expats were played in it as well. So bottom line is it's Scotland, the home of golf. You need to have the Ryder Cup here more than every 50 years, for God's sake. And so that's why you get what you get now with all these people.
But
if excited.
You know where now the Ryder Cup is for 2022, I think it's probably seven different nations have come forward trying to stage it. And that just shows you now it probably won't be coming back to the British shores for a long time.
Well, no, it goes to France next, then it goes to either, you just said it, Turkey, Germany, Denmark, Spain, Portugal.
It looks like Turkey
in Italy. Those are the ones that have mentioned. I actually think Germany. I think Germany's got the edge. Actually, they have the money.
Germany would be a pretty decent bet.
Germany at the end of September is not.
No, it's no worse than up here.
No, it's
further south.
Let's move on. What happens on Friday morning, 7:35?
You start these conversations and then you don't like them where they go.
Alex, Friday morning, four ball starting at 7:35. Explain to our listeners what four ball is.
You take two guys from each side and they play alternate shot.
Now that's the foursomes.
Oh, four ball. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize, Bobby. You've gotten me so discombobulated about your little thing about the cat and all that stuff that I've completely lost it. Four ball is when every player plays their own ball and they take the best score. Foursomes is when you take to the teams, two teams, and they play the same ball or what we call alternate shot.
Yeah, I agree. And I was stunned a little bit because I was in attendance when our captain, Tom Watson, was up at the podium. And Alex said, well, do you have your matches set for the foursomes for Friday morning? And Tom Watson had to say, Alex, it's four ball Friday morning.
It doesn't matter. You know what, Bob? This is the thing about this. If they wouldn't put this stuff on television, nobody would know what's going on in these things anyways.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be on TV.
That doesn't bother me in the least bit.
They asked him to be on today. He put the bow tie on Sunday.
I'm not even sure I have a face for radio, to be honest with you.
All right, Saturday, same schedule, four ball and foursomes, just like they played on Friday.
That's it.
But also stress that not all the 12 are playing, and unlike the President's Cup. And that's the defining and the interesting thing, why the captains actually do have to earn that
money. And the only reason why you've won as many as you have.
8 out of 12 play.
That's right.
Yeah.
Four matches in the morning, four matches in the afternoon, on both Friday and Saturday, and then singles, 12 matches of singles, which is when you can't hide those players that you've been trying to hide.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it doesn't seem to have done us any. When we hide them, they come out of the woodwork and do the business.
It's amazing. I don't know what you feed them. I don't know what you let them smoke. I don't know what you do, but it's been pretty good so far.
It's pretty amazing too. Gordon Simpson is just walking by, so I want to ask.
Gordon. If you're smart, you keep on going.
Gordon, one question: on Sunday, if the cup is decided, are the players required to finish? They are required to finish. That's part of the captain's agreement. I always get a chuckle out of captain's agreements because we were down in South Africa when in the President's Cup, and it was declared a tie. And we went back in the media room, and Jack Nicklaus, who was the captain of the U.S. side at the time, was asked, Jack, in the captain's agreement, it clearly stated there would be no ties. Jack responded by saying, Captain's agreement? I never read that. I just signed it and sent it back. But Gordon Simpson, who's doing a great job here with the media, you have to finish the matches. Are you in favor of that?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, people pay to play or watch.
But how often does it? Okay, in Medina, it came down to Woods even had something to play for, even when technically Kaimo he blew it. It should have been a tie. Which is very different. We would have only retained it, not regained it. And I remember talking to you at the time when 2 years ago, Bob, you said that was a rick of monumental proportions by Woods and the team, saying Woods should have gone for that half point. It mattered.
I cannot believe that Bob Bupka actually criticized Tiger Woods. Do we have that?
No, but I'm not sure he criticized Tiger Woods.
Thank you, Ruben.
But he criticized the whole atmosphere of what led to that.
You can't be one of the biggest events, not only in golf, but in sport, and then just call it. You just can't do that.
No, and I don't think they will. It doesn't get to that situation 9 times out of 10 anyway.
Well, a lot of football games are decided by sudden death. Baseball games, if the home team scores in extra innings, the game's over.
Right, that's extra innings. During the actual play, they don't just stop it after 7 innings to say you scored too many runs.
All right, let's wrap this up. I've been picked on way too much over the previous hour. I want to end it by first asking Rupert, and we certainly appreciate his contributions to the Ryder Cup, who your pick is, Rupert. Now, use your brain, not your heart, and tell me who you think is going to win.
It will be much closer than the British bookmakers have us suggest. The underdog mantle, and whether it rests easy with the Americans, does seem to be an inspiration to whichever team is perceived as the underdog. I think it will be close, but I just think the hometown support will see the Europeans over the line. But this, it is not one-sided. This American team will confound critics because they're well-led.
Alex?
Well, for all the reasons Rupert said, we should win, meaning the Americans, and I think we will. And I think what people have not understood about this yet is that there are a lot of guys on the U.S. team that play, have had experience in Ryder Cup, but have had experience where they know what they need to do. There's a difference between playing and not having any idea what you need to do. I think there's no question in Mickelson and Furyk's case, this could be their last Ryder Cup.
I thought Furyk's last Ryder Cup should have been the last one because he looked like a broken man.
Well, his last one will be his last one.
No, but last one should have been his last one.
Right, but potentially this could be his last one. And I think you take that into equation. You take a guy like Jimmy Walker, who won three times this year and is not a rookie. You take the Bubba Watson, Webb Simpson thing, if they can come anywhere close to what they did 2 years ago. You know, I you don't have the Tiger Woods factor, which I think is good because it distracts. You know, it's nothing against Tiger, it just distracts. I think you put it all together, and I think that you have a much more cohesive team like they had in 08 with guys that really, when you take back and look at that, you have J.B. Holmes, you got Chad Campbell, you got Kenny Perry. You know, those are guys that
do weekly.
Yeah, those are the one-offs. Those are the one-offs. That, you know, even though Kenny Perry played more than one Ryder Cup, those are the one-offs of Ryder Cup history. You know, they're like your Philip Waltons and that kind of stuff. So for that reason, I like the U.S. team. And in reverse of that, I think there is so much pressure on Paul McGinley and so much pressure on his team. And if things start sliding early, I think it's going to be hard.
And
go ahead, Rupert. Go ahead.
Just a quick point. Lee Westwood said to me last week that don't put too much on Ian Poulter, that he's suddenly going to be transformed once again into the beating heart of the European team. I don't think he will be because his form's been pretty ordinary this year. And again, he'll be expecting, he may be charging around the team room like a raging bull ready to go. I don't think his form compares to anything he's done before. I'm not expecting great things from Ian Poulter. I'd be looking elsewhere for the European team to find their inspiration, and Sergio Garcia is my man.
Well, Rupert Bell has picked Europe. Alex Maselli has stuck the American flag in the ground. It's up to me to break the tie and tell our listeners ahead of time who is going to be victorious come Sunday, and it will be the Europeans winning the Ryder Cup.
All right. Well, that's it with that. Well, we promised this week in the Grill Room would be all about the Ryder Cup, and it was. You're listening to the Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses and powered by Golf Week, where you go inside the ropes. And please remember to check out Bob's book, The Ryder Cup, Golf's Greatest Event, at RyderCupBook.com. Remember, it's time to pick the winning team. Who do you think will win the Ryder Cup? Send entries to entry@thegrillroom.com to arrive by noon Sunday.
A big thank you to our partners, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and the Golf Week. For Janice Self, Alex Maselli, Rupert Bell, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.